Hey, Mindhunter fans, we are talking the second half of this crazy season. We want to know what you thought happened to Holden. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Tonight, we are talking episodes 6 through 10 of Netflix's Mindhunter. Definitely a crazy end.
Yes.
Little, like, lots of serial killer stuff happening in between there, but the end was like insane.
Yes.
Before we get started, I'm April Wissenhant. Y'all can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant. I also have the live chat going, so please let us know what you thought, because there's so much to talk about in these episodes.
Yes.
Where can I find you?
Well, I'm Krista, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Krista Flungy.
Awesome. Okay, so the second half of the season.
Yes.
What's definitely different than the first, we got a lot more killer stuff, which,
oh my gosh, yes.
I was like actually really happy about. It kind of makes me feel weird that I'm so happy about
No, I agree. There was a lot more going on, which kept me more, I was way more into this, like watching every episode, like having to see the next one, because we were actually getting into like the storylines of all these people and then the background and the real life stories.
Exactly.
It was good. Yeah.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about before we get into like the meat of the second half is we kind of start off episode 6 with them still dealing with the,
yes, Beverly Jean.
Beverly Jean, yes. Stuff. And we find out that it's a whole like family scheme that they did everything.
Yeah.
But we didn't get any resolution to that, right? Like, essentially they're going to arrest.
Yeah, we have, like, Wendy's resolution, like, what she thinks happened based on the interviews.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the DA just put it all on Benji, even though it was pretty much all three of them based on, you know, what we think.
Yeah. But, yeah. I was surprised at how, like, whenever we learned that it definitely was them, I kind of, like, thought back on how Benji was during his interview.
Yeah.
That's why I love so much when Tench was like, what the hell were you crying about in that interview? Because he's the one that went back and mutilated her body and did all of these crazy things. And to just hear, like, one of our biggest things was, why would he do this to her? But we now know it's because, his freaky brother-in-law,
right?
Like, essentially raped her.
And he, like, went back to the site and mutilated her body after the fact.
And he did the stuff with the hair because his brother-in-law would always talk about how pretty her hair was. And he thought it was so inappropriate. So he scalped her and put that. It's just insane.
Yep. And didn't he, like, remove her breasts?
Yeah.
Yeah. And kept them?
He did something. He buried them?
In his back. Something weird. I can't remember the exact.
Yeah. He. Either way, it's just kind of crazy when you think about how, like, real his emotions seem. But that's the thing that the show teaches us so well, is that these people are a lot of times, like, you know, they can be just like you and I in society. And that's what's so crazy. I know this is a little bit like into it, but it's so crazy whenever Holden goes to the elementary school and is talking to the kids and he's like, I want you to know, like, these are things that you should look for.
One of you is a serial killer right now, basically. And they're like, what?
And then the little girl's like, well, my brother that hits my dog with a stick, because he's like, if they kill animals, if they do things like this.
Yeah.
So I'm like, at what age is it appropriate to start teaching kids, like,
the signs?
Okay, if you do these things, then you should really tell someone.
Which is a huge part of the show, I think, too, because it's how early can you tell, and if you can tell that early, when's it right to punish them or put them away when they haven't actually done anything yet? You know?
Exactly.
It's, yeah.
And how do you, like, change? Because it's also so about how this is just, like, a chemical imbalance in their head. So what are you supposed to do with these people who have these chemical imbalances?
Lock them away forever?
Before they do anything.
And we don't have the resources for that. We don't, you know, how many of them are there? We don't really know.
Exactly. So. But that's a good, it brings up, obviously, them being at the school with the principal.
Yeah.
I'm so curious to hear what you thought about that, because that was the weirdest thing.
I know. So it was hard for me, because if I was a mom and I had kids in grade school and their principal was tickling their feet, I mean, I would not be okay with that at all.
Of course not.
But then with the wife, which is a little later, her coming and giving that whole sad sob story to Holden in the apartment, like, waiting for the elevator, I felt terrible.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that sucks. He can't get a job anywhere. They have three kids. Two of them want to be teachers themselves. It was just, you see both sides, and I guess technically he didn't do anything wrong yet, but also you were tickling little kids' feet. I don't know what, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe just stop, like they asked, and this wouldn't have gotten that far.
Well, the fact that he was so adamant that this was, like, totally okay for him to do, when people were telling him, this is not okay for you to do, this is making the kids uncomfortable, this is parents making their talking, parents uncomfortable, like, he, I think at that point, it was just so, you know, saying that he would stop is almost admitting that it was wrong, mm-hmm. and he obviously wanted to make sure everyone knew that he didn't think it was wrong, but his wife coming and speaking to Holden at, well, they, I guess they were at Debbie's apartment at this point, at the apartment, it definitely got to me too, because so much of the family is affected it's by
sad,
this,
yeah.
and it's not their fault, but then you, my, I ended on, oh, but just imagine if they didn't do something.
And it got worse, yeah.
And he did do something to a kid, like, imagine there. I mean, it sucks that, you know, if someone in your family does that, you are directly affected by it. But it's better to, I mean, it's not better, but I guess it is better to be directly affected by it in that way than, like, what he gave them nickels. Like, they called it nickels for tickles.
And he was just like, well, the kids are leaving happy, so I don't see what's wrong with it. They're grade school age. They don't have any idea, like, in the future, looking back, oh, yeah, my principal used to tickle me and give me quarters, and then I'd run home and be like,
You have no idea at that age. So it's, I don't know. I'm happy that, I mean, Holden clearly felt torn up about it. Mm-hmm. And at this point, it was them, you know, they're doing all of this stuff. They've been researching all of these killers. He has so many, like, I'll use air quotes, arguments with Tinch about, like, how are they actually going to put these studies into real life.
Which is a valid point, you know? Yeah. What's the point of all this work if you aren't applying it to the real world?
Yeah. And I think that, you know, Bill's point is that they're just not ready for it yet.
Agreed.
And because they're supposed to be writing this whole book, and it's about, to, you know, it's supposed to be about something so different. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's also, they use, this comes into play whenever it's, like, the cheerleader or the majorette.
Yeah.
Murder. Oh, it was Holden's apartment that they were at.
Okay.
Because that's how she knew where they were.
Oh, yeah. Because they buzzed up Holden and they're like, someone's here to see you.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
It did. It was so sad when he later saw him, his name, Roger Wade is his name, at the convenience store.
Yeah.
And he just like had a beer or whatever it was in his hand, and he just looked awful.
I like how they added that and you almost wouldn't know it was him. I had to replay it and I was like, oh, that's the principal. That's really depressing.
And because he can't get a job, he was looking for work as a substitute teacher. Yeah. But like, that's, and that is,
you can only feel so bad. Yeah.
It's the main thing of the show that we still don't have like a resolution to. Like,
agreed.
When is it too soon to start mm-hmm. doing something about behavior that you think is weird?
Yeah,
but I think with the people that we see and that they've interviewed so far, it's clear that it's never too early in a lot mm-hmm. of instances. Because who's the first? Jerry?
Jerry Brudos.
So he is one of the first at this half of the season anyway mm-hmm. that they're talking to. And he did some, like, crazy brutal stuff. He also mutilated all of the bodies.
Took off the breasts.
Took off.
What is it with these guys?
It must be a thing.
I don't know.
I don't think it was him, but they talked about a killer that cut off the women's breasts and molded them, like, in clay.
Yeah. I can't remember who it was.
It wasn't this guy. It was a random person they were talking about. But, you know, Holden is, you can tell that he's getting more comfortable talking to these people.
Almost too comfortable.
Clearly. Yeah. Too comfortable. And Bill has a major problem with this because this guy has, like, you know, all these, mm-hmm. it's a big fetish thing. Like, they found shoes.
Oh, the shoes. I don't know if I'll ever wear heels again, honestly.
Oh, I know. What he did to that shoe in that last scene. Oh, I couldn't. And the fact that they just kind of sat there for a minute.
Yeah.
I'm like, get up.
I was like, leave.
Like, he's masturbating in his shoe. Like,
yeah,
anyway.
It's time to go.
But he was so different, and I think it taught both of them a lot, though, than Ed, because Ed was super forthcoming with all of his murders. But Jerry, he is essentially still living in a world of, like, I didn't do this.
I was coerced, like,
or he said he was set up.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't kill any of these girls.
I only admitted guilt because they threatened my family and my kids.
Right. Like, and then, but they have literally
evidence.
Photographic evidence of it. And whenever they approach him with that, he's like, Well, I don't really know how they got that.
But you're like, standing in a crime scene photo. Are you kidding me, dude?
Yeah. He has to live in this world of denial in order to not feel... maybe in order to not feel the things that he does. Like, but clearly he doesn't feel the things anyway. But it's just, it's such a stark contrast to Kemper, because it's like, I mean, he ends up talking about these details, but he talks about these details because Holden is like really...
And the whole time he's like, this is how I believe the killer would have done it. Or how he was, you know, they just fell into his lap and then he developed a taste for it. Never admitting it was him, but if he was thinking in the mind of the person that did it, which was creepy in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could, what was the one part where he's like, he could have just been thinking like, oh, well, you know, rape her at first, but then it just it went too
goes
far.
Goes farther, yeah.
Whatever he said. He was just a freaky one, and obviously it was like doing a lot of things to Bill, and I think it was making Bill see a very big difference in how he and Holden do stuff.
Oh yeah,
because then it's like the next big shebang is when they're it's not the next thing that happens, but the next big killer is Richard and
Speck,
right?
Yes.
And he, oh gosh, what did he do? Oh, he is the one that killed all of the nurses. And
this traumatized me.
This story, I recognized the name as soon as I heard it.
I didn't. I have never heard of this guy before. And okay. I was shook.
I recognized the name, but I didn't, couldn't, you know, I tried to put the killings of people outside of my brain.
Yeah.
But so he was like super drunk, super high, whatever he was. And he goes to a college, like nursing like a place where a bunch of nurses, a student nursing housing
apartment
place.
Yeah.
And there are three of them there. So he walked in on the situation. He was there to originally rob them. That's what he said. And so there were three of them there. And then he puts them all in different rooms.
But more
and,
keep coming as he's. And so he's like, I don't know what to do. They're coming out of everywhere.
It's like eight or nine total. I forget the total now. But it's what's so funny is because the one he doesn't kill or that he forgets about is the one that opened the door for him.
Yeah, she's hiding under a bed, right?
Yeah, that's what he says. He's very like, he's like, I didn't know what to do. They just kept coming. I wasn't planning on this.
Right?
But he put them all in different rooms and then like stabbed them repeatedly. And you know, they could like, they could barely hear anything, but they could essentially hear like muffled screams of their roommates
dying.
Could
you imagine?
He
was traumatized.
He said, once you kill one, you had to kill them all because like they would all just tell. Oh, and then how he's like, they just all kept showing up.
Yeah. I killed the first one because she wouldn't stop crying.
Yeah.
And I wanted her to shut up, and then I had to kill the rest. I was like, what?
It's so crazy how it really is all such a big power thing with them. And you can see, and I kind of equate it to, like, the power that Holden is feeling because he's getting all this attention for the work that he's doing.
It's going to his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in this session in particular is when he, you know, uses, like, crazy... Oh, yeah. Words that we definitely can't use on here.
No.
But that's he knew that this was how he was going to get Speck to talk because at first he was
he's like
I'm not talking to you. I'm not. What's the point? Mm-hmm. But we knew that his view of women was very, you know, low.
Yeah.
And so that's how he got him to talk. But that also got them in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. It's honestly, you watch as these last 6 through 10 these episodes progress slowly. Holden gets more agitated, his state of mind, and he just, until he eventually breaks. But the shoe, I think that was a huge breaking point for him.
Yeah.
When Debbie comes home with the shoe, like, she comes out in her laundry and she has that shoe on. And he's, like, cool with it for a second, and then he's like, no, I can't.
Yeah. I thought at the time it was because of Wendy Carr.
Oh.
I was like, oh, maybe he's feeling, like, too attracted to her, and that's why. But that makes way more sense.
And then because he, like, as he's touching her, he gets down to the shoe, and he's like, oh, I don't know about this.
But why do you think he's getting so agitated?
I think it's because the way he's talking to these serial killers, he's starting to get in their head, and I think that scares him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... It's getting deeper, and as, like, Tench says, he talks to his wife, and he's, like, it's getting into his personal life, and he's confused, and he can't separate the two. He talks to Wendy about it, and everyone's just like, I don't understand how Holden, like gets so involved and it doesn't affect him. But we see it does. It's just like slowly coming out.
And he is telling other people about it, or he's telling Debbie about it. He's trying to talk to Debbie,
but she's so caught up in her own life that all they ever talk about is their respective jobs or schooling. So it's, I don't know, there's no like deeper value to the relationship.
And I mean, we see what happens when, you know, Tinch's family gets involved whenever they the babysitter finds a picture of a crime scene underneath his son's bed. And then, you know, his wife is obviously very upset about this. Mm-hmm. And he's like, she's like, why don't you tell me? Because, you know, he bottles all this stuff up in an insane way. But she's like, he's like, you know why I don't? Because this. He goes a 12-year-old girl. And this, and this, and this. And but she.
Their relationship's so good because she's just, she embraces him and she's like, yeah, no, I get, you know, let it out.
It makes her understand more.
Which is not what's happening with Holden and Debbie.
No, not whatsoever. But, and he's getting all these like cheaty vibes. But it's so weird how when you're an outsider and you're looking at something, he's like pulling away from her. And I mean, when you're like in. We can attest to this as women. If I was in like a super sexy outfit and my boyfriend was straight up like, I'm tired. That's not what he did. But of course, that's going to put like, and they never talked about it.
No.
Or we never saw them talk about it anyway.
His excuse is, it's just not you. And she's like, well, that's the point.
Right.
I didn't dress up and, you know, the day we met, this is like a special thing we're doing. And he's like, peace.
And this is, why is this so bad for you? Of course it's going to put a wrench in your relationship. You know?
Yeah. Today I gave a serial killer a heel and he watched him get excited over it. And she'd be like, oh, that makes sense. I'll take him off.
Yeah. Maybe another night, a few years
We'll try this
now.
Again later.
Yeah. But, I was about to get on to the new, I guess, detective that they, or special agent that they have. But Wendy is officially, like, there now. Oh, yes. Now.
And we get a big reveal about her personal life, finally.
Yeah, she's lesbian.
Who knew?
I know, right? And so this whole time we're thinking, oh, they have this chemistry.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to, like.
He's still thinking it, I think. Oh, yeah. Because he has no idea.
But there's. It's a very obvious chemistry, though. Yeah. Like, it's not like she's trying to fake it either.
Yeah, but work relationship chemistry where he can talk to her about the same things, and I think that gets him really excited because he doesn't have that with Debbie because she only talks about herself.
It's like her red herring. Like, she's like, oh, this is my cover. Not cover because obviously nothing's happened, but, you know, everyone sees this chemistry between the two of them. So it's kind of, you know, at this time we have to remind ourselves that it's not socially acceptable, you know. What decade are they in? The 60s, the 70s?
Yeah,
70s. It's not, you know, being a lesbian is not something that people are okay with. It's a lot of, like, in some states, people are even, like, imprisoned at that point, which is just crazy. But we see her, you know, her girlfriend is, like, a very, I think she's a therapist, right?
Yeah, they're both. They do something at the school because Wendy was working for her tenure, right? And she makes a statement, if you leave or if you focus on what you're doing with the FBI, it's going to ruin that. So you have to pick a dream, and I don't think that's the right dream to pick.
Right. It was interesting. No, I didn't either. And I was glad that she left Boston come to Quantico for, you know, for good, I guess, because the girlfriend seemed way too controlling over a person that I thought no one would be able to control what she says.
Yes.
It's not like she's so out there.
Wendy's
she's a very
a
like
strong, independent woman.
Yeah. She's very put together. Yes. Like, she's not crazy, but I just could never imagine her like with someone like that. So that was interesting. But it was also interesting, and I just don't get this, but like the cat stuff.
This is what I don't know. I went over this so many times in my head. And do you think maybe it's just since she's going through this breakup, she just moved to a new city, it's like a companionship thing? She's like reaching out for this. I mean, it doesn't end well.
Right.
But it was, the whole situation started really creepy. She like walks down with no pants on with a can of tuna. And you're just like, Wendy, you're going to get murdered right now. But it's just
that's
a
where
cat.
I thought it was going.
Yeah. I didn't know what was going to happen, but other than that, that's the only thing I could take away from it. I didn't need it. I didn't get it.
I mean, I think they're doing it for the exact reason that you said, to show us, you know, like, she moved to this new city to, like, give us a little more information on her character and how she, background, you know,
story.
We see we see everyone's background. We see Bill with his family. We see Holden with Debbie.
Yeah.
And, you know, the things that they do when they're out. And we only saw, like, work her. But it's just so sad. It is. Because it's like she's living this super lonely life because she can't, like, be herself.
Straight out of the can and drinking real large glasses of wine.
So, okay, this is what I thought whenever, because I knew they did this on purpose. So she pours this glass of wine that was not too big, but then there was just a little bit left in the bottle.
You chugged that on the way down the...
Well, she poured it, and I was like, yeah, you're not going to leave this much wine left in the bottle. I literally thought that. I was like, I don't think that's too big of a glass.
Yeah.
No. I mean, it is, but not when there's that much left.
Well, she's got a huge glass, and then she pours it in, and she's like, well,
you know.
Let's keep the party going.
Top it on off.
Yeah.
But we do see kind of a divide in the group over this, you know, spec stuff a little bit.
She's not happy.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the new guy's name. So they hire a guy that's a transcriber. Oh, Craig Smith. So he, you know, Ivy League education guy, super like...
Real close with Shepherd, which...
It's like his friend's son.
His friend's son and Holden's like... Could be a mole.
Yeah. But he seems really into it anyway. They make him listen to some of the tapes that they did, and I literally thought he was going to throw up. His face
during that scene, he was like, I don't know.
Yeah. But he's different than all of them, you know?
Yeah.
He talks a lot, or, you know, a fair amount about his faith, and I think they did that on purpose. Because, you know, in these situations, you can't go in, just like they say, you can't go in with the judgment of somebody. You have to, like, leave all of that at the door, no matter what you think. Like, you could be, you know, not believe in anything whatsoever, and if a part of this, you know, killer's mindset, it has to do with religion, you can't, like, be like, you're crazy. Yeah. Otherwise, it's not gonna be good for the study. But he, essentially, Holden has him transcribe the spec interviews in a not-so legal way. He leaves out the very, like...
His vile language.
Vile language that he was saying. He's just like, this isn't necessary. That's not going to do anything for the study. Very long story short, people find out. Or, no, spec, like, files a formal complaint, which is kind of crazy. This murderer that... killed 8 women is filing a complaint saying, like, people mess with his head and he's mad about it. Like, okay, what's this really going to do? But it's getting internal affairs after them.
Yeah.
And this could potentially affect their study. And I think the only important part about this whole thing is because it splits them.
It
involves Shepherd. So we have, you know, Holden is obviously like, we don't give them anything.
Yep.
I do like how he was willing to take all of the blame, though.
He was him that did it. He was a stand-up guy in the situation. He's like, you know what? It was me. I did it.
Yeah. Carr is very angry that this happened. Bill is with Holden, and then you have Shepherd that is like, why did you Carr's involve
been
me?
Been angry, too, because the language, it's as a woman, I'd be offended, too. But again, as if this was present day, the language he uses in these interviews is exactly what I'm guessing they do to get these people to talk.
Like, yeah.
You know what? It's just more commonplace now, and it's accepted. But back then, if you talked like that, especially in the presence of a woman, it was unheard of.
And that's why Wendy was so upset about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Shepherd makes a good point. This is a publicly funded study.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, so this is technically, you know, these are public tapes. Yeah. Anyone could
listen and
could get them. And it just makes them look bad. It makes them look like they go about things in the wrong way.
Agreed.
And so it's not like it's not a thing that just the average person is going to realize, like, oh, this guy was saying these terrible things in order to get this information.
Yeah.
So they're upset about that. But, you know, our little newbie, he decides he's going to take it upon himself to send in the correct tape to internal affairs, and it just becomes a whole thing.
Like, couldn't you just listen to the plan that his just end scene with him sitting there ready to mail it out? I was like, come on, dude.
I know. Do you think they're gonna ever figure out that it was him?
Oh, how would you not? There was only...
Well, they looked at Wendy and, like, and no, like, one really looked at him.
Yeah, that's true. He would have been my first guess. I would have been like, you.
Oh, for sure. I don't think they'll ever end up addressing it.
No.
But it's just like, I mean, surely.
Honestly, the kind of guy Craig is, he might just admit it. Next season. It was me. Sorry. And, that's like, true. Relieve himself of duty.
Yeah. That is good that we already know there's going to be a next season.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It is.
So one of the bigger, I'm forgetting his name now, even though we just said it before, Devier. He is a person where they start applying the stuff that they're learning from people to this case.
Yeah.
Someone approaches him in the town.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They call him like, it's the, why can't I remember?
People in chat, what do they call Devier? They call him something.
I think it's just Devi.
Devi?
I think they, because I thought they were saying Debbie.
Yeah.
And it sounds a lot like Devi, because mm-hmm. his name was a mouthful. Jean, so that would make
Devier.
Sense. So I think, yeah, I yeah. think Holden especially just referred to him as Debbie.
Okay. Well, that's how so we refer to him.
That's what we're going
to
do.
Well, they say Jean, so we'll call
so
him
we'll
Jean.
We'll call him Jean.
Perfect.
All
right. So they're approached about a murder that's happened of this, like, 12-year-old girl. She's a majorette. And they start... So they realize that, like, the trees have been trimmed. Someone sees a tree trimmer
this
talking
process.
To this guy.
Yeah.
This guy is Jean Devier. So this is, I think originally they tried to arrest him, but then
yes.
he passed a polygraph test, like, with
flying
colors.
Which they warned when they were sitting down in that diner, Holden and Tench were like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Because sociopaths, they don't have emotions like normal people do, and they mm-hmm. can, they're going to pass with flying colors, which
he did. But they were dead set on him, but they released him after this mm-hmm. polygraph test. So that's when they were like, okay, let us step in and kind of see what happens.
Yeah.
And this was crazy. One of the crazier things all season to me that happened.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, they have him, Holden's kind of getting into his way of saying things that, like, aren't so great again.
Yeah.
And the other police officers just cannot handle it. Like, they
like
even
how
step
he
out of the room.
Warns them. He goes during this, in the beginning, that whole montage of him preparing for this interview.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it because he's
too.
Taking everything he's learned from every interview. He's like, we need his shoe. What's his shoe? And they get the rock and mm-hmm. they make the file bigger. And it's just all these parts. I really like the moving pieces of him like applying everything
yeah.
to this one interview. But he says to them before they go into the interview room, I'm going to say some stuff that might make you uncomfortable, mm-hmm. so just be prepared. And whoa, did he really go there?
Yeah. I mean, it's never going to make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside
no,
hearing
a
man talk about, you know,
yeah.
how he thinks young girls look cute, too. But, like, in order to get a confession, sometimes
mm-hmm.
you have to do things. But then I also wonder, like, did it border coercion,
yeah.
which is, it kind of did a little bit.
But how else do you get these people that, like he said, that's a psychopath you're talking to, how do you break them
yeah.
unless you play the games they're playing, or you talk on a level that they would, so it like, it's difficult, but I get why does
it. Yeah.
It's just hard to listen to.
I mean, he was so dead set on, this is not, it wasn't me. Like,
mm-hmm.
maybe I saw someone, and the only reason he even slightly opened up is because of Holden's
mm-hmm.
being like, you know, she looked 14.
Yeah, that's
he's like,
the
that's,
age of consent.
I'm like, 14?
That's
holy
gross.
Crap. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
I hope that's not still
I mean,
the case
it was Georgia,
anywhere.
So I don't know, maybe back
I'm
then.
I'm from Alabama. I'm
well, is
sure
that the age of consent?
No, I think it's 16 in Alabama. No, it's 18.
Okay, this was back then, though. People got married at 16, 17, so
that's
maybe
true. You can get married at 16 with your parents' consent.
Yeah, so we'll let it slide for the 70s, but I'm not sure.
I don't know. But they, you know, he starts talking about how, oh, in her little outfit, she could have looked older, and maybe
mm-hmm.
she was flirting with you. And then they take out, or they, like, reveal the table of evidence.
The baton that they rolled in dirt.
Yeah. And her jacket. So she was wearing a yellow jacket
mm-hmm.
when she was abducted.
Yeah.
And they pick that up, and there's the rock. Right,
oh, that
the rock is what he killed the girl with. And we know that this was, like, a crime of passion and not something that's planned because
yeah.
her body was found out in the open, like, her stuff was still there, the murder weapon, meaning the rock, was still right beside her.
Yes.
So clearly it was just like, oh, crap, this wasn't an
he
organized
lost
thing.
It, yeah.
But the second he saw that rock, I mean, just, like, shaking, freaking out.
He broke
out.
Down.
And then he obviously admitted that he did it.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of, so at this point, they've changed, you know how they were saying serial murderer?
Mm-hmm.
They've changed it now,
we've got
to serial
killer.
But
yes.
what, I mean, they are supposed to be forming opinions and getting information
mm-hmm.
on serial killers. This guy is not a serial killer.
He doesn't
killer.
Fit the, no, he's got one, But maybe this also goes into play with how they're trying to associate what starts a serial killer. Like, mm-hmm. this could be his first. Mm-hmm. And maybe if they didn't catch him, he developed a taste. Because at first they were saying, I think he only meant a raper.
Right.
And then it went too far. So, you know, maybe this is like them showing, hey, we caught someone. It could have been multiple if we didn't.
Exactly.
Type thing.
And the cops that were in the room with him later ask, or like they go out that night after they get the confession.
Yeah, celebrate.
And they're like, shouldn't we be teaching? Like, you should be teaching this stuff.
He's like, we're trying.
And it's not, I mean, you have to remember we started off the season with him being like a hostage negotiator.
Yeah.
Like, he clearly has a way with words that just the average person
does not. Yes.
But then they get into all of this trouble because someone like picks up an article in the Atlanta newspaper about it. And I don't know, that's kind of like not important information to me. But the end of the season is with our boy, Ed. And he's been sending these letters to Holden.
I miss you. Like pen pals. Literally, they were love letters to him.
It was like construction paper type things. It was so cute.
So cute.
And Holden just hasn't been answering. I mean, because they're like...
Rude.
They're like, on to the next.
Yeah.
You know, I got Richard Speck here and
Jerry. Meanwhile, poor Kemper's real lonely and sad and misses his friends.
So. Yeah. And he really thinks that Holden was his friend because mm-hmm. Holden said, I'm your friend.
Yeah.
So Holden gets this crazy note that's like, it's an emergency, call us. And it's Ed had tried to, or attempted suicide.
Medical proxy.
And had made Holden his medical proxy. But what did you think about
genius.
Holden going?
I would have never went.
No, of course not.
But it's Holden, and he's curious. I mean, I guess in the moment, his curiosity got a hold of him. He was like, whoa, I can't believe he did this. I need to go talk to him now. I need to see.
He had just been
and
broken up
and he was going through some stuff. We'll get back to that breakup.
Yeah. But he gets there, and it's obvious that Ed is, like, very mad at him.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you don't want... I would take, like, just, you know, a maniac random killer being mad at me over, like, him being mad at you, because you clearly, like, he did. I mean,
I would have left the minute I saw him in that bed looking at me like that. I would have been like, cool.
Oh, yeah, he slit his mom's throat from ear to ear.
And he's a big dude. I'm sorry, Holden, you're not that buff. Like, leave.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yumi Musaka in the chat said, sad part is Kemper was the only friend he had left at that point.
Oh,
and that's
so true.
Bill was off Debbie and he had just broken up. Mm-hmm. Cara's mad at him for the, you know, this crazy situation that.
True.
He just got them into.
The one person you have left.
And when Kemper asks, like, why did you come here then? And he's like, I don't know. I mean, obviously Kemper's like standing over him and
he's
intimidating him at this
mastermind.
Point.
The whole time, like, how did Holden not notice that the whole time they're talking, he's acknowledging the nurse in the room behind him and he's just so sly. Holden has no idea.
I thought he was chained to the bed. Like,
I did
completely.
Too. When he gets up, it's so powerful because he's just like,
he's a huge man.
You're like, whoa.
And they did have him chained, but like, was that a 12-foot chain?
No.
I mean, he like basically walks around the room.
He can do laps like as many times as he wanted.
Yeah. And it's kind of, that's where you really see the, you know, the trouble mm-hmm. of being in a profession like this, because you have manipulated this person to get answers.
Yeah.
But then like later you think he was just giving you fake answers anyway, you know, according to Jerry. But
well, you affected him.
Right.
So.
Then you realize like that this was a connection for them. This was they've been sitting in a jail cell for, you know,
no
years
one wants to
upon
talk
years.
To them. Yeah.
So it's like when they finally see someone who actually comes back to see them
and asks about the murders that who talks to them about that besides their lawyers?
Right.
You know?
They seem legitimately interested. Mm-hmm. In what happened to them and then why they did it. Of course they think it's a connection. And so he was obviously very sad. And I thought he was for sure about mm-hmm. to off Holden.
Oh, yeah.
But he hugged him instead.
I really thought that was going to be it. No more Holden.
Me
Season
too.
Two, not for you.
I know. Right? I'm like, okay, we're going a different way.
The hug was weird.
The hug was so weird. He's like, you are my friend. Pat.
And Holden's like, peace.
Yeah. And then so what do you think? About he's clearly having an anxiety attack.
A mental breakdown.
He's
yeah.
like, I'm dying.
He just starts panicking and then the nurse, you're not okay. You're not we get it.
Right.
Obviously, take him away.
I mean
it was a lot. It was almost too much.
Well, I get like thinking that you're about to be killed is obviously
that could
very,
trigger
very,
that, yeah.
very scary. But I think it's not, it's actually not just that.
It's everything.
It's all this stuff going into, like,
the Debbie breakup, how he's letting everything affect him. I think it's the buildup of him not letting these interviews and these serial killers get to him until that moment. Like, we've had little triggers and little breakthroughs with shoes and whatever. Mm-hmm. And Debbie, and I think that moment with Ed, and he was like, wow, I'm, like, almost becoming one of these people that they can relate to me this well. And he just loses it.
Well, that it's like when, like you said, when Debbie breaks up with him, he has no emotion. And isn't that...
That breakup, that was the weirdest breakup in the history of breakups. That he basically breaks up with himself for her.
Yeah.
She gets him to do it.
And he's just like, okay, I'll come get my stuff next week.
And also, she said nothing the whole time he's profiling her based on her behavior, which
leads
into...
Well, she asked him to.
Yes, which she prompted that. That was her provoking.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, she was just like, is that what I'm doing? And I'm like, I don't know. Was it? Now I'm confused. Like,
no, I'm pretty sure that's what she was doing. Like, she definitely wanted to break up with him.
Because at the end, she was just like, okay. Yeah. He's gone. And I was like, you're not going to say anything?
That's, I mean, she definitely wanted to break up with him, but I... to me, it's just his reaction.
It was weird.
He's been talking to these people that have no emotions for so long.
Yeah.
That I'm like, because beginning of the season, Holden was not that person. He was, you know, curious and, you know, met this girl in a bar. And he was a lot more open and just not so like, I'm the best. Not that he's saying that, but he definitely...
Yeah.
It's like, there's a switch.
I'm too good for this.
There's a switch in these interviews wherever it's like, it was, you know, he and Bill tag teaming, doing everything together.
And solo.
And then it just becomes like, now Bill's still there, but it's like very clear that Holden is
he's
the ringleader.
Conducting. Yeah.
I just said ringleader.
The ringleader.
Ringleader.
You had me like, wait, what is it?
What does that mean? And that's what's going to put, you know, a potential wrench in all of this.
He's got no relationships, like our chat friend said.
I know.
Ed Kemper's it, and you just left his embrace, so now you got no one.
You ain't got Ed or nobody.
You alone.
I know. We have this, we talked about last week, the person that we see flashes of all throughout.
Yes, the ADT, well, in this version, the ADT truck delivery
but
driver.
But who did you say you thought
he's
it
the
was?
He's for sure the BTK killer.
It is confirmed that he's the BTK killer.
Yes, it's gotta be. So
no, it is.
Okay.
It's confirmed.
Oh, good.
But so I don't know a lot about him.
Okay, so you know that one scene? I think it was episode... It was one of the last, maybe the last nine. It might have been
nine.
Burning
the stuff?
Yeah, so he's... Oh, that's the last one. But in nine, you know where he's, like, in the house pacing, and he's waiting out the window looking for someone, and then eventually you can tell he gets really angry, and he just takes the cup off the table, like, real aggressively and washes it and leaves the house.
Yeah.
So in real life, the BTK killer... he killed like 10 women total, and there was a couple that he didn't, but he had planned to, and one of them was Anna Williams, and in real life, he like waited for hours, but he's got a real life back home and places he's got to get, and he got impatient because she took too long coming home from friends, that he left, and she never ended up getting murdered, like he was already in her house waiting, and she took too long, and so I think that was the scene implying...
Wow.
Relating to that, yeah. That's when I was like, oh, it's totally him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the trick is, kids, stay out late.
Yeah, don't come home.
Don't come home.
Before your curfew.
There's probably someone waiting there.
Lesson learned.
Do we think that's what the next season is going to, like, revolve around?
You can't just, like, give me all those tidbits and not... But he doesn't get caught in real life until... I'm sorry if I'm wrong about this, but recently, like, maybe the 90s, there was a break where he stopped... I'd need to look it up. But it was a while. It wasn't in the 80s or 70s when it was going on. He killed, took a break for like 10 years, and then,
Wow.
So I don't know how they'd address that unless they, Bill and Holden age 20 years. And
he was caught in 2005.
Oh, see?
Yeah. Yumi Misaka, you are on it.
Thank
I love
you.
It.
So even later, that was real recent. So there's no way they could address it, I guess.
Well, I think that what's interesting about this is that obviously, they were giving us something that had nothing to do with what there
was going on. So many different aspects.
But that's why I'm like, how are they going to tie that in?
So maybe they're not. Maybe it was just like us playing this game of, can you guess the serial killer? And also watching someone in present day that they aren't. So you've got people in the past that have already been busted. You have people that are getting caught currently. And then you have this guy who doesn't get caught until, you know, a good 10 years ago, 12 years ago. So maybe it's just like showing us all versions.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's just like trying to, it was interesting how they did it because it definitely like became a part of the show, but it had nothing to do with anything else that was going on, obviously. Yeah,
there's so many
things. It was a good like little tidbit to throw out there for what could potentially happen.
It got me excited because every episode, you only got like a minute of it, mm-hmm. but I wanted to know who it was and thinking and then...
He seems so normal, and then obviously very not.
And they give you a little more every episode until you can be like, that's who it is.
Oh, yeah. I know we have to wrap up shortly, but I want to hear your, like, general thoughts of the season.
I mean, so much happened. It was good. It wasn't what I was expecting, I don't think.
Same.
Yeah, I mean, all I had to go off of was the trailer, and I knew it was about serial killers, so I was, like, all about it. But there was a lot more. I like how they actually went really deep into the psychological aspects. Mm-hmm. And I really liked how they tied in the different parts. I like how we had the murderers that have been caught that we're interviewing to figure out why they did it. Mm-hmm. And I like how they tied it into their present day serial killers and trying to solve these murders and how they applied everything they learned. Mm-hmm. And I think they tied it up really well at the end.
I think so too.
Yeah.
They did. I liked same stuff you did. Mm-hmm. Definitely wasn't what I expected it to be. I loved that it is based off of real crimes and real serial killers. Because as I'm watching, I'm like, oh, let me Google this guy.
Exactly.
Because, like, I Googled Richard Speck and he died in prison from a heart attack.
Good.
But it's like, that's not a bad enough death for you. I mean, they address the death penalty at one point in this because they don't want the guy to get the death. They don't want Gene to get the death penalty because that could, like, mess up their studies since they were involved in it. But I think the thing that I liked the most is that you really do get to see, you know, these are all things we've heard, things we've read, but you really get to see, like, in the mind of someone. And, you know, you always wonder, like, how could someone just, you know, cold blood kill someone? But it's like they're literally their face is just like, oh, yeah, it just
the acting it was just great. Happened. Yes.
And I just like felt it and I felt this urge, mm-hmm. you know, just like I feel the urge to like get a cheeseburger on my way home.
You know,
they felt the urge to like pick up some chick. And then,
totally different urges.
I know. I'm trying to see. I wonder if we're going to see a woman serial killer.
I'd
have
like
there been
that.
Any like
I mean,
women
it's
serial
rare,
killers?
But I don't know if there have been serial killers, but there's definitely been like crazy
the Black Dahlia and stuff like that. Or
that's
not.
Actually
that,
a good
well,
point. Does our genius chat person know this too?
Yeah. Are there any women serial killers?
Like like multiple.
There are women who have like killed multiple.
Yeah,
husbands,
we get that.
But I don't know if like I don't know if they're serial killers. I'd
like
say.
Any female versions of Jeffrey Dahmer out there?
I don't think there are.
We'll Google it.
I do hope we get to see a little Manson stuff next season. I think
and
we
I
will
see Dahmer stuff.
I do too. I think we will because they like said that they were on the docket.
Yeah, they compared Speck to Manson. Yeah. That was their Charles Manson. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we do know that there is going to be a second season. Who knows of when it's going to come out, but they're already like floating ideas around.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
It's exciting.
Do we miss anything?
No.
I don't think so. Well, thank y'all so much for watching with us. We had so much fun. I want y'all to continue the chat. Keep tweeting us because there's still a million things that I don't even realize happened in the show. In the meantime, y'all can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant.
And you can find me at Krista Flengy.
Y'all can find all of us at AfterBuzz TV. So many after shows going on. So we will see y'all next season. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.